WAER Sports proudly presents the Ostrom Avenue Podcast.
Goalpost goes down for just the seventh time in program history. Syracuse football has secured a top 10 win in the Dome.
Freeman straight away elevates and slams. Ladies and gentlemen, Donnie Freeman is here in the 315.
And it's misery at the hands of Maryland. Syracuse with its closest shot at a championship in over a decade gets sent home.
Hearing from a host of guests.
Super excited to welcome back onto the podcast the voice of Syracuse men's lacrosse, Tim Leonard.
Now Jason Benetti, voice of the Detroit Tigers.
And providing all the hot takes.
If Syracuse beats Miami, there are no questions. This program is headed in the right direction. Fran Brown is the leader of the future.
These are guys that can make impacts on day one. You're going to see that presence. That just when Syracuse in the past, when you look at their offensive line and defensive line, they were undersized in committing penalties. Now, they might still commit penalties. Who knows? But at least you know they're not going to be undersized.
It's the Ostrom Avenue Podcast, and it starts right now.
Welcome in to the Ostrom Avenue Podcast. It is Friday when we're recording this. Syracuse men's basketball plays Miami tomorrow in the Dome. A busy, eventful week, you could say, or at least eventful week and a half since the last time we recorded. And this podcast, Boston College game hadn't happened. So two interesting losses for Syracuse men's basketball. We'll dive into those. No AJ Myers this week. It's just myself, Griffin Bloomstein, and Josh Rothert. You know, AJ's time's almost up. Not quite, but almost. And so you'll have to get used to Josh and I for the next probably close to a year, eight to 10 months. And then we'll get a third member again, but you don't want to write AJ off too quick. You know. Back when Jordan was on the podcast, we would always talk about weather, and sometimes we do. But Josh, we're expecting a big snowstorm, basically like the whole eastern half of the country, I've heard. And Texas, you know, don't want to leave out Texas, is expecting a big snowstorm. Yeah, any specific details about that snowstorm you could tell me about?
I didn't do much research last time, but I mean, we're expecting some record lows. Minneapolis in the negative 20s today, Chicago in the negative 20s today. My hometown in Michigan in the minus 10 to 20 range. I'm sure we'll be seeing temperatures like that. I know some of our WAER desk members are going skiing tonight. I can't imagine having to bundle up into 15 layers just to enjoy that. But I mean, people are talking about this is like a 1 in 500 year storm. People will say that, and then we'll get another one of these next year, and it'll be the same thing again. But man, gotta stay safe out there because it is really cold.
Yeah, it's a tough time for Miami to be coming up to the to the Dome. That's what I'll say. Maybe Syracuse can root off its evils if Miami can't get adjusted to the cold weather. Although the walk from the bus to the Dome is probably all that Miami will see of the cold. Are you a big skiing guy? Have you ever skied?
I've never been either. No, I don't do that. Winter stuff, not for me. I hibernate, I sleep. Okay. That's how my winters go.
I like that. I've never skied, never snowboarded. I'm a indoor basketball kind of guy in the winter, and that's about it.
I'm going to run it up in a few hours. If we can find a court.
If you go in a couple hours, you'll find a court. Oh. We were playing last night, caught a good win with some of the AER guys, so happy about that. But let's get back into it. Syracuse basketball did not have a win the past two games since we put out the last episode. Overtime loss to Boston College. Oof. That one was tough. And then a two-point loss probably should have been a lot more than 2 points to Virginia Tech, a game that very much could have been a Syracuse win the way they played in the first half. For the first, I would say, like 16 minutes of the first half, really good basketball. Syracuse looked like they were gonna rebound well after a tough loss to Boston College. Let's start with that Boston College game, Josh. And the first half, Syracuse was winning. It wasn't great. Nate Kings was showing out. And then the second half, it's kind of been the issue all season in losses. Talking about Hofstra, Kansas, Iowa State, Boston College, Virginia. It's been the second half collapses, and it was just that yet again.
Yeah, Syracuse 15-4 on the season if the game ended at halftime. They haven't had any second half comebacks, but they've had three second half collapses, and this Boston College one was certainly of that nature. They spent 33 minutes leading this game. That just kind of tells you what the script was like. It was almost like they were sleepwalking to the finish line. They were, playing their normal basketball, which is play down to their competition if it's not a good team, and if it's a great team, let's play up to it, but let's still make sure we lose by a few points. And it feels like once again there's really no game plan or no there's really no effort. I mean, seven turnovers from Donnie Freeman, seven turnovers from Nate George. I don't understand why we're getting so, fabricated on the offensive end. There's no reason to overcomplicate some of the scoring, and it just seems like they're forcing passes into tight windows. This is a team that had success, three straight wins, two on the road against solid teams in Georgia Tech and Pittsburgh, definitely middle of the pack. But I mean, you're going on the road and beating these teams, and Conti Forum always been a place that Syracuse has struggled. But Griffin, I don't know what else to say. This is a cupcake of a win. This is the easiest team they will play all year in ACC play, and they can't get it done. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, you look at it last year, Syracuse lost to the worst team in the ACC, Miami. You never know how it will shake up this season, but Boston College very well could be the worst team in the conference, which would make it back-to-back years. You lose to the worst team in the ACC. Not a great stat. You mentioned that Syracuse doesn't really play Boston College well in Conti form, and that is certainly the case. Last year, Syracuse got a win, but it was another ugly 8-point win. The year before, they lost. There's a lot of Syracuse fans in the Boston area. Now, I was one of them growing up. And when you have a Syracuse heavy crowd, there are more Syracuse fans than there were Boston College fans at the Conti Forum that day. It doesn't feel like a road environment there. So the fact that Syracuse can't play well was a little bit alarming. You mentioned the turnovers. We've been harping on it all season. 10 assists is not enough. Like that.
Especially when you have 18 turnovers. I know you saw Judah Mintz's tweet. The assist to turnover ratio, atrocious.
It was
Completely
equally.
unacceptable. Like, you can't win games when you're turning the ball over twice for every assist.
No. It was two assists from Nate George, two from JJ, and three from Nate Kings. That is unacceptable. Just about all you can say, the bench only had 2 points for the entire game. 2 points. Wow. Like we are at a loss for words. And it's not like these are the days of Jim Boeheim where the bench combined might play 10 to 15 minutes. Kyan had 17 minutes. Sadiq White got an early 5 minutes and then checked out of the game and never saw the floor again. Ibrahim Suwore had 9 minutes. Tyler Bezzi had 15. That's a lot of minutes to go around for your bench to only put up 2 points.
So, I mean, certainly. I mean, it's definitely a lower volume game bench-wise. I mean, they were still starter heavy, but certainly an unacceptable amount of minutes to not make a field goal the entire game.
The 3-point shooting was something, the 3-point defense, rather, was something that Syracuse had been pretty good at all season to that point. And then you allow Donald Hand to get an open look, sends it to overtime. That was one where Syracuse probably should have fouled up three. Adrian Autry said post game that was the game plan. It really did not look like it. If you watch that final possession, Syracuse had no urgency to foul. There was plenty of opportunity to foul too, but there was, it didn't look like anybody knew that was the plan. So I don't know, one, if Adrian Autry lied post-game and said that was the plan, or two, no one heard him, if three, he didn't say it, or four, the players didn't listen. And no matter which one the case is, that is a problem. A huge problem.
Absolutely. I mean, they win the game if they foul here because, well, you'd like to think they win the game if they foul here. Let's just say they foul with – so Adrian Autry said, under 10, we foul. And he said it 100 times. And I don't know where the disconnect comes from, if the coaches aren't getting it clear enough to the players aren't listening, the players don't respect the coaching staff. I don't know where the disconnect is. But let's say they foul with 8 seconds left because Hand makes the shot with 7. So that puts a Boston College player at the line, down 3, with 8 seconds left in the game. Now, Boston College was shooting 70% from the free throw line in this game. So let's say that they make the first one. We're gonna say they make the first one. Now they either have to miss the second and get a rebound and put up another shot, which I'll say is about a 2 to 5% success chance before this game, because we'll get to what happens in the next game. And then, or they make the second one and they have to foul, and then they would have to go the length of the court and get another bucket, assuming they foul Syracuse. So you're looking at a 2% chance Boston College wins this game all the way to tying it up. That is a swing that cannot happen. Like, there is no excuse for how this game ended. And I don't think there's any situation I've ever seen where fouling up by 3 or not fouling up by 3 doesn't come back to bite you. And it certainly did. They lost the game.
Yeah. Donnie missed a big free throw. That would have made it a 2-possession game before that 3-pointer. So there's a lot of blame to go around and a lot of people that deserve the blame. So, you know, you can't really harp on one specific person. So that was that. Overtime, Syracuse had the ball first, didn't score. BC had a couple good possessions, and overtime wasn't close at all. Eagles ran away with it. That game ended with a final score, 73-81 in favor of the Eagles. Syracuse lost its second ACC game. And then we return home to face Virginia Tech on Wednesday night. And this was a game that Syracuse fans were hopeful for. Could potentially be a very good quad 2 win, possibly a quad 1 win, if Virginia Tech kept playing well and beat some other ACC teams down the line. In the first half, Virginia Tech did not play well. They were holding, Syracuse was holding VT's star player. I'm not going to try to pronounce his name. I think it's Avdalis.
Avdalis, yes.
The Greek freak of college, that's what I'll call him. He's not as large as Giannis, but he's probably the second best player to ever come out of Greece.
He's talented, yeah.
He's very good. He'll be a first-round pick.
Yep.
In the upcoming draft. And then the second half turned. Syracuse did not end the first half well. They didn't score for like the last couple minutes. And then they started the second half out rough. Missed shots, committed an absurd amount of fouls. Syracuse had 20 fouls in the second half. Now, if that's a game throughout the whole game, that's still a lot of fouls. That's 10 per half average. That's the double bonus each half. But 20 fouls in one half of basketball. And you had players after the game saying, well, they shot 30 free throws. It's a home game. That shouldn't happen. Well, don't foul 20 times. It's pretty simple. If you don't want the other team to make free throws, don't foul. And it's not like Virginia Tech was super efficient. They were 26 of 36. But Ben Hammond was 12 of 13 all in the second half. You can't give the other team free looks. And that's not even the best part about this game. The Syracuse had 20 fouls and blew it in the second half. Syracuse had a Mickey Mouse comeback. And Josh, I'll let you explain.
Well, I mean, the game shouldn't have been as close as it was at the end because Syracuse was leading by 9 points in this one. And then Virginia Tech, they have their 9-point lead with a minute left. And then, we're going to decide to play basketball. We've played we've played whatever AAU version of basketball for the last 20 minutes. If you take the last couple minutes of the first half and the rest of the second half, we're gonna start trying again. We're down 9 with a minute left. Let's see if we can make it interesting. You know, maybe hit the over on the total. You know, let's send some fans home happy because they're already hitting the exits. We're down 9, so that they get it. They get a steal off an inbound. JJ makes a layup. They force another turnover on an inbound. They get the ball back. Nate Kings has a look to tie the game. Somehow, down 9 with a minute left, Nate Kings has a chance to tie the game. And then Virginia Tech gets the rebound. They go up 5. And then Nate George doing what he does best, some garbage time stat padding there at the end. He makes a 3 at the buzzer. I think it was his only made 3 all game. He only had 6 points, and, you know, half of his output there comes after the horn sounds. I don't understand. I mean, the effort was finally there, mostly in the final minute, because Griffin, the reason that Syracuse didn't get a second chance to tie the game, their best rebounder or their best 4 rebounders in the paint, 4v1, get out-rebounded on a free throw. They give up an offensive rebound on a free throw.
Yeah.
BT had no one in the lane. The guy gets a rebound. I don't understand.
That Nathan George three-pointer that didn't count, well, it did count, but it lowered the deficit from 5-2. Could have tied the game. It could have sent the game to overtime.
Yep.
Syracuse lost off a bad offensive rebound. Now, Syracuse could have break the 3, and it all wouldn't have mattered. But after the game, you had Adrian Autry swear. He was mad.
Oh, yeah, he was.
And Adrian Autry doesn't swear too often. And he swore in the post-game press conference because he was unhappy with the way Syracuse played in that final possession. Now, argument to be made, Syracuse played bad the whole second half. And if you look at the box score, it's like, okay, yeah. Your leading scorer was J.J. Starling with 12 points. This was a bad Donnie Freeman game.
Yep.
A very, very bad Donnie Freeman game. It was a second bad Nate George game in a row after he had started to play pretty well. That stretch where Syracuse was winning games in the ACC, Nate George looked good.
Yeah.
But back-to-back games of him not playing well. Donnie, this was a one-off game. The thing that I'm most mad about, William Kyle had a really, really good first half.
What? They didn't even give him the ball in the second. Where'd he go?
Not at all. That was one thing that I was disappointed by.
Because it worked. And yeah, and you know, you're going to Sadiq White next. That was kind of who replaced Will Kyle in the second half, almost in a sense. I mean, he caught 2 lobs on back-to-back possessions. They never went back to it. I don't understand why this team, they understand that they have 2 athletic bigs. Will Kyle is one of the most athletic players in the nation. I mean, the guy can jump over the rim. If you give him the ball down low within 5 feet of the basket, I mean, he's going to shoot 75-80%. That's a really high percentage look. Why aren't we going back to it? Why doesn't Nate George look down low more often? Why are we trying to feed the ball into tight space? And I know you want to get the ball to Donnie because he has been your best player. But on a night like tonight, I mean, he shot 1 of 8 in the second half. The second he starts trending down, you know, the lead's starting to slip away here, you know. Will Kyle should be getting some looks. He didn't get a single look in the second half. That's why they lost.
There were some other weird things in that game. Like Bryce Zephyr played 11 minutes in the first half. He hadn't seen the floor in ACC play at all. Was in there, didn't really do anything on offense. His defense was decent. He didn't play at all in the second half. Now,
and no Soiree. No Soiree the entire
The whole game. And now,
are you celebrating?
No, I can't even be happy about it because they lost.
Yeah.
If Syracuse won and Soiree didn't play, then I would have been like, yeah, prove my point. But maybe I was wrong. Maybe Akir Soiree was the truth. And him touching the floor impacted winning. Is that probably true? No.
Well, they did lose. He did play against BC. He did not score. So when Akir Soiree scores an ACC play, they're undefeated. Or I think he might have scored against Clemson. Maybe he scored against Clemson. Whatever. They have a better record than they do when he doesn't score. They're 0-2 when he doesn't score.
Syracuse shot the ball really well in the first half. 7 for 12 from 3. That was very interesting, considering their season high was 11 on the season, 7 in the first half, and then only 3 for 11 in the second half. Not a lot of things that went well for Syracuse in that game. In the second half, at least. The first half was pretty good. Syracuse plays Miami in what's, I guess, as big of a must-win as must-wins can be when the season might already be over. That's a whole another topic that we could add.
We'll probably be saying that until the end of the year. I mean,
Yeah.
when you have quad
Syracuse.
3 losses, there's really no more room for error. And just one more quick thing. I want to get back to that press conference with Adrian Autry. I think that was the most visibly, just destroyed I had seen him. And you never want to hate on a man when he's down. And it's certainly getting tough for fans to support him, and it, understandably so. It hasn't been the smoothest 3 year tenure under him, but if what he's actually saying is true, that he is telling these players, we need to foul, you need to box out and get a rebound, and they're not doing it, Griffin, it doesn't matter if Carmelo Anthony is on the sideline, it doesn't matter who is on the sideline, if they're not going to execute what the coaches are putting down, I mean, you can't really fault him much more for it.
I disagree. I think if players aren't buying in to the coach, that says something about the coach.
Sure.
I think there's so much talent on this roster. If they're not buying in, if they're not following orders, if they're not wanting to get better, if they're not executing, which all may be true, it all may not be true. We don't know. We're not in the locker room 24/7. We're not at practice all the time. There has to be questions asked about this team because this team could have been a tournament team. And now for that to be the case, one of two things has to happen. They either have to win the ACC tournament, which, I mean, we've seen crazier things happen, or they have to go beat UNC twice, beat Duke, beat Louisville, and beat NC State and not lose more than one or two more ACC games, which is not going to happen. That
I
starts,
guess we'll see. Yeah, I mean, it really starts tomorrow, right? I mean,
and it starts
they
tomorrow.
got a tough one already. They got blessed with, like you guys said, they got blessed with the bottom of the ACC the first couple weeks of ACC play, and they're at 500. So
Yeah.
they have no more room for error.
This is a Miami team that is on the bubble. They're probably going to be a tournament team. It's in the dome. This is a game that should be a win, can be a win, and if this was a Syracuse team of years past against a bubble team at home, would be a win. But who knows? Game time two on Saturday. We're recording this Friday, so tomorrow, McClure Green Modeling countdown, a tip-off at 1:30. Luke Burgess, Gino Antimarino have the call. The double overtime going up all the way until 6 p.m. with Timmy Weiss and Milo Hoffman. That will be fun. I'll be in the dome for that one. So I'm excited to see how Syracuse does in person for a game this season. So that will be interesting. I don't think there's any other big basketball news right now. If anything happens during the podcast, we'll fill you in. Syracuse women's basketball. It's been an interesting past week. They don't have a busy week. I think they just have
They just
one
have the one.
game.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one game this week. And then they had a game last Sunday against Stanford. Big Dominique Darius game. She had a career high 26 points. Syracuse picks up a big ACC win against the Stanford team. That was okay. The big point for Syracuse, no Layla Filia in that one. So credit to Darius getting the job done without probably Syracuse's most talented player, one could argue, in Filia. The Orange travel to Chapel Hill to play UNC this Sunday. That game is at 2. Josh, anything that stood out for you recently for Syracuse? 3-game win streak, the heart of ACC play coming up.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you get the big win against Virginia on the road. I mean, every time you get a road win in ACC play, that feels earned, no matter who the opponent is, and already three of those, 3-0 on the road in ACC play, and looking to make it 4-0 tomorrow. I don't think we recorded before the triple overtime game against Cal. That was a debacle, but somehow Dominique Darius, with two of her five makes in that game, just absolute clutch. She had the inbounds pass where she throws it off the Cal defender's back and then puts in a layup to tie it up, and then, you know, at the game winner, straightaway three in triple overtime, first triple overtime game in 10, 12 years, I think they said. So, I mean, they were up by 21 in the third quarter, so let's not get ahead of ourselves. This is a one-win Cal team inside of the ACC, so definitely should have been over much before the horn sounded. And then the Stanford win, impressive win. Stanford, solid team. They come out to the Dome, and like you said, Dominique Darius, she gives them 26 points, takes home National Player of the Week honors. Just a really, really impressive sign. The Orange are 16-3. But tomorrow on the road against UNC, that's a number 17 UNC in the net ranking. Syracuse is 0-2 against those top 20 teams, and they lost to Duke in ACC play earlier this year. That is one of the top 20 teams in the net ranking. So definitely going to be an interesting one. They're probably not favored to win this game, but anything can happen in the way Dominique Darius is playing. Definitely gives the Orange a shot. Don't know when Felia is expected back, but if she could find a way in the lineup tomorrow, that would also, or on Sunday, that would also be a huge help.
Yeah, definitely. Felia would definitely be a big impact in that one. Interesting with UNC, they lost to Stanford in Chapel Hill. So, you know, a little surprise there. But, you know, if it's a sport, UNC is going to be good at it. So, yeah. That will be a test for Coach Jack's squad down in Chapel Hill. We do have some football news, and the long-lived tenure of Tusi on the football team is over. Not really a whole lot to say about this. We saw Coach Fran was on Hugh Sports Talk the other day. He said Tusi's not going to play a whole lot, if any, if at all. Tusi's not going to play. He's just kind of on the team for show. Tusi hit Twitter and was like, all right, I'm gone. Decommit. And that was kind of the whole thing. It was quick. It was pretty quiet. I don't think a whole lot of, like, national media outlets picked it up. It was pretty funny. It was one of those instances where, like, I was like, Fran, like, why did you say that? Like, I mean, it was pretty obvious he wasn't going to play, but, like, you didn't have to draw that. Now, like, he's not even going to be attracting an audience for your team. Any thoughts on Tusi?
I mean, Griffin, he did get to celebrate his birthday as a, active member of the football team, I guess you want to call it, a couple weeks ago. His 26th birthday, mind you, so he would be a walk-on 26-year-old and I definitely wasn't going to play. Maybe he'll go record a breakup song, just spilling his whole feelings for Syracuse football and Fran Brown. I mean, from the get-go, this was for show. I mean, I don't really know what you wanted. I don't really know what you wanted out of this whole thing. Is he a distraction? No. Is he, like, important to the team? Obviously not. I mean, he was a zero-star recruit in high school. And he's aged 7 years since that point. So unless he is taking, you know, some insane amount of steroids or something, I don't imagine how he's even in condition to play. I mean, let's be honest here. I don't know what this whole thing was. But good to get back on the hopefully good side of the football grind. But
we did hear some news earlier today that Syracuse would be playing Notre Dame. That's confirmed from Notre Dame's side. On rivalry week, you know, no more USC Notre Dame. It's now Syracuse Notre Dame. That's the rivalry matchup that we all want to see the week after Thanksgiving. That will be in the Dome. And then we also just got breaking news live on the Ostrom pod. I don't know if we have, like, a sound effect that we can put in or not. I don't think so. But Mike McAllister of 24/7 Sports, literally a couple seconds ago, tweeted Syracuse has received a commitment from offensive lineman Edwin Guzman. Not ranked at all. His only offer seems to be from Syracuse in the 2027 class. But listen to this. Listed at 6'8", 310 pounds. Wow. Now, obviously, I've not watched any film on this guy, but always good to get some breaking news up here in the Ostrom Pod. That's probably it for football. Unless, Josh, you've heard anything?
They got a lot of work to do. That's all
they do. That'll be interesting.
They got the trio of quarterbacks now. I don't know if we brought up Malachi Nelson last time.
I think we did.
Okay, I think we did. That's always good to have a veteran presence in the room, even though he got benched at UTEP. So, you know, you just keep your head down and keep going. That should be the mantra of this football team in the offseason. A lot of work to do, and it's good that Notre Dame game's at the end of the year, so it won't be on the one-year anniversary of the 70-7 game, which I'm sure will live on forever among all of the kids that were in college to witness that atrocity.
I forgot about that game. At least I tried to. Fran said that Steve Angeli is killing rehab, so hopefully that's a good thing. And that's about it for football. Men's lacrosse is about 2 weeks away. First game, February 1st. No, it's 1 week away.
Yeah.
1 week from Sunday. Wow.
Tough news, though.
Yeah, tough news. Syracuse men's lacrosse will be without attackman Trey Deer for the entirety of the 2026 season due to a car accident. We're not going to really touch more on that. Coach Gates said that Trey Deer is out for the season. Didn't really comment on anything more than that. Trey Deer, 19 goals last season, led the team in man-up scores with 7. You know, we wish Trey Deer all the best and hope he can get back on the field next season with the Orange. It'll be interesting to see what Syracuse can do. They have a tough schedule. Boston University, they're, I'm pretty sure, ranked in the top 20 of Inside Lacrosse's season preseason poll. They're a good squad. They're not going to be to the levels of a lot of the top ACC programs, but that's no easy slouch, especially for your first game of the season. That is February 1st, just like I said. It's really national championship or bust for Syracuse men's lacrosse this season. Nothing really else to say, but besides that, to this point, you know, I'm excited for another lacrosse season, especially the way this basketball program has been. That's kind of the thing the last couple of years. Oh, Syracuse basketball trails off. Don't worry, lacrosse season is here. And oh boy, I expect this to be a very fun lacrosse season.
Yeah, I mean, definitely think this team is capable of winning the national championship. We basically preview it every episode. Finally, next episode, it's going to be here, so we get to actually see this team in action. You know, Coach Gates seemed excited. He seemed pretty laid back, pretty conservative in his remarks yesterday to the media. But he said multiple times the team is very focused on the season up ahead. It's a big season for the squad. Obviously, a lot of the veteran guys in their graduation years. So this is going to be the year to do it. And, you know, he elaborated a little bit on the schedule, the 6 straight road games. They stepped into the Ivy ACC challenge. So it was initially going to be 2 road games, and then they were going to play some sort of showcase or whatever at a neutral site or at home. And then someone dropped, and they're going to go and play, I think it's Penn and what's the, I
Princeton.
Don't know. What the other, Princeton. Yeah, Penn and Princeton. Down in Massachusetts for that ACC Ivy Challenge. So the 6 straight road games, definitely going to be a daunting task. They got the number one team in the country coming in game 3 of the season. So they're going to be tested early and often. I think you'll find out pretty quickly if this team is legit or not.
Yeah. Syracuse ranked number 3 in Inside Lacrosse preseason poll. They play Maryland number 1. They play Princeton number 2. They play Georgetown number 5. They play UNC number 6. Notre Dame number 8. Duke number 11. They play Harvard number 13. Virginia 14. And you open it with number 17, Boston University. So that's the type of competition that Syracuse is going to play. You know, it's AJ, or it's not AJ, it's Josh's first lacrosse season. with us for the Ostrom Avenue podcast, which is always fun. We'll be talking to a lot of the coaches this season. Hopefully, maybe next week we'll get BU's coach on the podcast, Ryan Poley. So that will be interesting. So make sure to stay tuned for that. It should be a fun season of lacrosse. So that's what we say every year, but especially this season, it should be a fun one for that. We'll tease that game next week on the podcast. Well, that kind of wraps it up here on the Ostrom Avenue podcast. Josh, you got any last thoughts? Basketball, lacrosse, football, 2C, weather?
I don't think you want any more on me about 2C, but I guess tomorrow look for Donnie Freeman to bounce back. I mean, this is a Miami team. They struggle in the paint a little bit against some of those taller forwards. Pittsburgh's forward Cam Corin at 18 points against them. Kawasi Reeves from Georgia Tech had 23. Carter Welling Clemson had 18. So there's a lot of guys that have had success. So I'd look for Donnie to get the ball early and often. And no game is unwinnable in ACC play. Boston College proved that last week. Syracuse season far from over.
Yep. Miami, Syracuse in the dome at 2 p.m. tomorrow. You can catch all the action on WAER. McClure Remodeling Countdown. A tip-off starts at 1:30. You can also make sure to check out all previous episodes of the Ostrom Avenue podcast at WAER.org, YouTube, at WAERSports.org, wherever you get your podcast. Thanks for listening to today's podcast, Griffin and Josh. We appreciate it and enjoy the rest of your week.